A new study from the National Realtors Association looked at employment gains, population trends, income levels, and housing conditions in the 100 biggest metro areas in the country and came up with the list of the top 10 cities for millennials, the ones who are currently there, and recent movers. The top cities included Denver, Colorado, Salt Lake City, Utah, Madison, Wisconsin. There are more. Not only is Phoenix not on the top 10 list, we asked the researchers behind this, and they told us Phoenix is about number 48. So why aren't millennials moving here at those rates? For more on that, I sat down with Rachel Yanoff, executive director of Achieve 60 Arizona, which works to get 60% of Arizona adults a post-secondary degree or credential by 2030. She says, in the end, it's all about education.
There are a lot of factors as to why people are picking homes. And so, you know, Arizona is always going to be attractive for retirees. We've got this beautiful sun. But that doesn't actually create a national brand of being a young, hip place. So that's a little bit of a contradiction when you think about people from the external world. But I also would say, from an education perspective, we've been battling the fact that we have low education outcomes, and millennials are thoughtful about where they're settling with their families. They're thoughtful about the kinds of opportunities for education. We know that for many businesses and many companies who are coming to Arizona, it's the number one question they're asking is, what's the education opportunity for my employees' children?
Wow.
And so we need to really think about the fact that that is a huge factor for anyone choosing to come live here.
So you're saying the Red for Ed debate, the how much we're going to fund schools, the how much we're going to pay teachers, the being on the lower level of all of the lists in terms of educational attainment levels is really hurting us in terms of growth.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
So there also sounds like there's sort of an intangible, like, it factor here, right? Phoenix has been urbanizing. Like, there's a little bit of that. So you work at getting more of Arizona's young people into college and keeping them in the state after college. What's the impression?
Yeah. So I actually, it's pretty amazing. Our ABOR data from the Arizona Board of Regents shows that actually most of our young people who go to our public institutions, they do stay here. And they stay here for their first job, about 80%. So we are good at actually keeping our young people at first. The problem is actually what we see is that over time, we tend to export more young people who are moving into those mid-management, upper management levels because we, for whatever reason, have somewhat of a flat opportunity ladder here. And so we're seeing that people are, you know, 10, 12, 15 years out of post-secondary that then they're leaving and they're going other places. Now, that could be for lots of reasons. You know, there's also maybe a point in time where you want to try to see how fun it is to shovel snow. I don't know. but again, I would also say that probably correlates with they're getting married, they're having kids, they're starting to think about, is the education for my next generation the education I want? And, it, you know, there are amazing things happening in K-12 education in Arizona, but they're in pockets and they're not as systemic as we would like. And so that has an impact.
So when you look at trying to keep those people here long term, are there solutions? Is this something that you try to work within the business community to do to try and make sure that there are opportunities for people to move up and to stay? They don't have to move to another state or city to their headquarters or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's where our economic development, our Commerce Authority are really trying to think, like, how do we become a place where there's headquarters, a place where there's upward mobility within your profession? I mean, we do have a phenomenally robust post-secondary education field, so there are lots of places to upskill and train up and move up. So from a provider perspective of putting out those people who can do the work, we have all the pieces. And then there's an amazing amount of energy among our business community to support improving K-12. I mean, they can't expect that we're going to change this all by ourselves. And so I do think we're seeing really thoughtful partnerships where you can see businesses saying, we want to support teachers, we want to support the K-12 system. Our bonds and overrides, not all, but vast majority, keep passing because people are seeing that investing in our education is incredibly important.
Okay, so investing in the education at a local level, bonds and overrides, is one thing. But it sounds like what you're saying the major solution is here is to seriously invest in our education system from a state level.
You know, as a state, we will thrive because all of our kiddos thrive. And until we reach that point that we can say, no matter what your zip code, no matter what area of town you live in, you have an excellent education, we have work to do. And so I believe everyone who is working on this has that intention. And it's just getting ourselves organized and getting coalesced around what are the best strategies to ensure that every kid has access to an awesome opportunity.
So this is your realm. What are some of the things that are already going on?
Well, so I think from the post-secondary attainment realm, some of the best things we're seeing is that we are seeing businesses saying, here's the openings we have. You know, we have these skill gaps. We have these jobs we can't fill. And instead of telling the post-secondary institutions, go figure it out, they're coming to the table and they're sitting together and they're saying, here's the skills that I need you to develop. The community colleges and the universities are saying, great, we're going to create those programs. And they're together co-creating a pathway so that as a student, I know at the end of that tunnel, I have a job waiting for me. I have an employer who cares about me. I have an institution that's going to get me there. And that kind of sort of collaboration, you know, that happens when there is a scarcity and a need and a drive. And that's, while it's uncomfortable to be number 48 in a millennial movement, it's actually creating some really good energy to be better at that.
To be better. All right. That's Rachel Yanoff with Achieve 60 Arizona. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.